You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Shiurim on Yom Kippur, the Isur of Achila on Yom Kippur, is an Isur Doraisa of Tanues Nafshu Sechem Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. You have to fast Inui Hanefesh on this day. B'tisha L'chodesh Ba'erev Me'erev Ad Erev Tishpetu Shabbatchem. Now, the Maisa, the whenever Shashalosu Une, Ve'etzim Ayomaze, Ve'nichraso, there's a din of, there's a onish kares for somebody that eats on Yom Kippur. Now, the Isser of eating, since it uses the Lashon of Inui, okay, the Lashon of Inui is a Lashon of affliction. So, Zawa Makabel, that the affliction when it comes to eating is a shiur, is if a person eats less than a shiur of Kuseves Hagasa. Kuseves Hagasa is a big date with a pit, which is slightly less than a beitza, than a kebeitza. Now, it's slightly less than a kibbutz, slightly less. Now, if a person has less than that, it's more than a kazayis, but it's less than a kibbutz. But if a person eats that on Yom Kippur, that shear, then it's considered that he's not afflicting himself. It's not considered achila, he hasn't got a shame of achila. When it comes to matzah on Pesach, when it comes to kazayis, achidas, in eating in the sukkah, or kazayis for birkas hamazon, it's written achila, ve'achalta ve'savata. It says by erev toich no matzus. When it comes to achilas bekazais, kach kibalnu alochad Moshe Mesina. Achilas bekazais. Yad speaks about inui. Inui is not bekazais. Inui is bekotevet agasa, afflicting oneself. Even when one eats a kazais, it's still considered afflicting oneself until one eats as the size of just over almost like a kibbutzah, just less than a kibbutzah. And therefore, that's the shiur that one isn't allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. If a person eats it on Yom Kippur, so one is chayev koris. Now, when it comes to shtiyah, when it comes to drinking, now how much is that, by the way? That's about 30 cc's of 30 cc's, cubic centimeters, 30 cubic centimeters. That's the size. Samak. Now, centimeter cubed, cubic centimeters. Now, when it comes to the shiur of shtiyah, drinking, today we have a halacha from Rashi Sinai that it's a male lugma. Male lugma is the size of a cheekful. Now, what is a cheek? Remember, there are some people who are more cheeky, some people who are less cheeky, right? Now, that is dependent. The first of the shiur of achila is, the shiur of achila that we've just discussed is universal. When it comes to the shtir, drinking, that's not universal. That's individualistic. It's individual, based on the individual's cheek size. So if you have a guy who's got a big cheek, and there are some people who have big cheeks, right? Person with a big cheek, especially if he's a big individual. So what he needs to do is he holds his hand here next to his cheek, and he fills up his other cheek, all right, with water. What do? You can take, I'll tell you the easy way to do it. You take a hose pipe, put it in the tap, put the hose pipe into your mouth and put on the tap, and you'll see your cheek will fill up pretty quickly, Rabbi Yosef, right? It'll fill up pretty quickly. You can take a syringe and fill up your mouth. So you put your hand here, you fill up your cheek as much as it can go with your hand holding the one cheek, and then you spit it out into a glass and measure. That is a malolugma. That's what you're not allowed to have on Tisha B'Av, on Yom Kippur. If you have less than that, you've had less than the shit.
So one second, it means a mouthful plus a cheek?
No.
Only a cheek.
Only a cheek. I hold my one cheek.
One cheek, but not in the middle? Only in the cheek?
This is it. You can see my hand on my cheek.
If you do like that, you're going to get in your mouth also. It's not a mouth.
It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. That's all I need to do.
What?
All I need to do is hold this. That's what I need to do.
I don't have to worry about what's in the mouth.
Makes no difference. Can you see that? The question is if one has false teeth. Then you're asking a good question, right?
False,
what about the teeth?
Yeah, what do you call it? Inserts.
Inserts, all the same thing, right? The stomach follows the inserts. The minute you get inserts, your stomach goes down. You take out your teeth, your
No, I mean, they're permanently put in there. What do you call them?
Implants.
So when the implant is in, and it's not a chatzitza anymore when you go to the mikveh.
Right.
Mistoma, you do it with the implant.
Okay.
And you see that? If it's an implant that goes in and out, okay, and it could be a chatzitza, as we made it, then it's not part of the mouth, mistoma. Lemaisa, it's not really so lemaisa. 40 cc's is the shear. It's definitely less than Mali Lugmov. It's definitely not Mali Lugmov. So Mali Lugmov is 45, is 43. Is a Mali Lugmav, so 40 cc's is definitely less than a Mali Lugmav.
46 is definitely okay?
43.
Is Mali. Okay?
43 is half of a Shiur Reb Chaim Noe of a Revis. That's definitely half, it's definitely less than half a Revis, a Mali Lugmav.
Okay.
Can you see that? In other words, a Mali Lugmav is more than half, is Rov Revis. That's what I'm trying to say. A Mali Lugmav is Rov Revis. It's more of than 44 cc's. It's more than that. It's actually more than 43 cc's. So 40 cc's is less than that. So that's the shear, 40 cc's or less. Okay? All right?
Okay.
38, 40. Okay, that's it. Now, the maize, so 43.3 is 38, 40 cc's, 38. Now, in water terms, 40 cc's is 40 moles, right? It's one and the same thing, right? Do you agree?
Right.
Does everybody agree with that? Huh? Is anybody, we're all together over here? Steve? 40 moles is 40 cc's, do you agree? Of water, right?
Yeah. Why are you talking about 40? We talked about 43 before.
Yeah, but I don't want to go to 43. 43 is already also, so I got to go under 40.
Ah, so maximum to use is 40?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We can't see you, Reb Shlomo.
I know, I'm making my breakfast. After I make my breakfast, I'll turn on my camera.
Okay, so you're going to eat the kosevis agasa. Can you see?
I eat a lot right now, but
all right. But, now watch this.
Okay.
All right. Now listen to this, Avia. So we're talking about 40 cc's of drink that you're allowed to have, and we talking about. The shear of ochel, which is, if the shear of a koteva katasa is 30 cubic centimeters, okay, 30 cubic centimeters. So why don't you make me the host, please, Rabbi Yossi? All right? 30 cubic centimeters.
When you're talking about shear on 40 cc's, what's the frequency? How often?
Yeah, so that's the next point that I want to discuss over here. Where's Reb Moshe? Does anybody know? Yeah, Reb Moshe's been away for 3 days. Just hold on 1 second.
I don't know where he's been.
Huh? I'll get hold of his house. You know, if I phone him and he doesn't want to talk to me, he won't answer the phone. But when you phone the home, the wife answers. She doesn't recognize the phone call. She doesn't recognize the number. And then she gives me to listen, Avia, I've got all the ways, Reb Tzvi. Yeah, Reb Tzvi, you are infamous when you take off and you don't answer your phone.
I could do this. My wife's not around at that time of the morning.
Really? Look over here. Yeah, he's not there, Reb Moshe. I don't know where he is. You know, when somebody done, somebody, you can't get hold of somebody now.
Good life.
You start getting nervous, you know. Listen to this.
So, are these halakhas something that everyone will end up doing? You know, once you get to a certain, beyond a certain age, that people just have to do.
Well, it depends. You know, it depends. Everything can be, must be discussed individually. Some people, it doesn't mean, it's definitely a club that a person that is over a certain age does not necessarily mean you can't fast. There's no question about it. That's a rule. It has to be discussed individually. Sometimes the person has certain ailments when you get older. So, and you zoche to arichus yomim. So you're dealing with a older body that needs to be balanced more, correct? And sometimes you're right. A person will have to eat. I mean, that's discussed on an individualistic basis.
I understand. I'm just wondering, are there many 95-year-olds that can fast on Yom Kippur?
Wow.
Yeah.
Why not? Dr. Eisner, how do you do with fasting?
I see how I feel.
But
I know I have to take my medicine, so that probably breaks the fast anyhow. And if I feel dry or something, I drink.
I understood. You have shiurim.
Rabbi Eisen, if one on Yom Kippur experience, or let's say feel that he's got the COVID symptoms.
Yes.
I presume that's regarded as a bikurach nefesh. Is allowed to take...
Okay, so let me tell you, we'll discuss it. I'll come to the COVID now.
Okay.
Let me explain that now.
Okay.
Listen over here carefully. I'm just bringing everybody in. Can you see? All the latecomers. Look over here carefully. So now, Reb Yosef Yitzchak. Okay, fine. All right, cool.
One second. We have 42 cases, okay, but how often?
Hold on one second. Let me, let's just, now we come to the, now obviously, when it comes to eating, this shiur, so there obviously has to be a time period that you have to eat it in, right? If you spread it over 3 days, you're obviously not, you know, if you spread your breakfast over 3 days, in other words, the camera remains off for 3 days, Reb Shlomo, right? You're spreading your breakfast over 3 days, you're not going to feel very satiated.
Right.
Can you see that?
Right.
So there obviously has to be a time period. Reb Nechemia, that goes for you as well. Listen of it. There obviously has to be a time period that you want to eat it. So now, that time period is kedei achilas pras. That's the shiur. All right? That's the shiur. In other words, you can't have more than that shiur within kedei achilas pras. You got to eat the shiur that's osur of kosevis agasa or male lugmov within a time period of kedei achilas pras, which is either 2 minutes, it's either 3 minutes, or it's 5 minutes, or it's 8 minutes, or it's 9 minutes. Okay, now on Yom Kippur, we're going to take the more machmir sheet of 9 minutes. 9 minutes. In other words, when it comes to Bikasam Mazon, which is the same shir of Achilas Kazayis, not the same shir of Achilas Kosevis Agasa, Achilas Kazayis, we machmir between 2 and 4 minutes. On Yom Kippur, we want to be machmir the other way, right? We want to be machmir. If 2 and 4 minutes would be a cooler that you already can eat more. So we're going to be machmir that because our kedachilat pras is 9 minutes. So I tell everybody 10 minutes. In the 9 minutes, I don't put it exactly on. I give them an extra minute. So I say 10 minutes. So I tell everybody, right, that has to eat shiurim, that you'll have 40 cc's every 10 minutes, and you're going to have a less than 30 cc's of food which is the size of a small matchbox. Small matchbox is less than 30 cc's. Some are 24, some are 27, some are 28. Depends which company you buy from, but depends which cigarette you smoke. Can you see that? What you prefer. But Le Mesa 20, a small matchbox is usually less than, almost always less than a share of a Kusebe Sagasa. And we tell, that's what we tell the people to do. We tell the people to keep a small matchbox with them, and when they can fill up the matchbox and have that every 10 minutes, and drinking also the 40 cc's every 10 minutes. After the 10 minutes has passed, you can have another 40 cc's. Makes no difference how quickly you drink or you don't drink the 40 cc's, as long as you or the matchbox, you eat the matchbox. Haika that you wait that 10-minute period between one matchbox and the other, between 140 cc shiur and the next 40 cc shiur. However, we have to put in a very important point over here and mention an exceedingly important point. And that is that chatzi shiur is osur min ha-toyro. In other words, having less than a shiur is still osur min ha-toyro. It's just that there's no chorus. In other words, we're only going to be matir you to have chatzi shiur when you have to eat. Now, there's one basic difference between Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Yitzchak, are we together over here? Right? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, right? Two Rabbi Yosefs, okay? And Mr. Sidransky. Listen to this over here. We have a... It's a very important point. There's a big difference in Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av, a choyle she'en boi sakone, a choyle that is not in sakone, he on Tisha B'Av does not have to fast. Rabbanon made no fast for such a person. He doesn't have to fast because Tisha B'Av is only the chiyuv the Rabbanon. And Rabbanon went machmir on a person, didn't make the chiyuv for a person who is not. Who is a cholesh in Bosakon? There was no such chiyuv. However, when it comes to Yom Kippur is a din d'oraisa, and even a cholesh in Bosakon has to fast on Yom Kippur. So that means that in order to matir a person to have chatzi shiur, to have these shiurim, he has to be already in a position of have a geder of a choyle sheyesh boi sakon. Now, obviously, yesh boi sakon means he's going to come to sakon. He's either in sakon or he's going to come to sakon. We need to decide whether he's going to come to sakon or not. Now, this becomes, right, this becomes very, very relevant for the rov, for the rabbi, and becomes very relevant for the doctor. Now, the doctor and the rabbi, I mean, I think that both together are needed over here, need to decide whether this choyle, whether this person is a choyle sheyesh bo sakona, or he's not a choyle sheyesh bo sakona. And obviously, you know, you're going to have differing opinions. When you've got different people, you're going to have differing opinions. Different doctors are going to they're going to think differently. However, there's one very important point that needs to be addressed. And that is that there are already the it's already brought, okay. It's already brought in the Tiferet Yisrael. All right, who says that? I've seen the Tiferet Yisrael says he saw so many times that doctors, okay, just are makel to people that they shouldn't fast, okay? And later poskim bring as well. Many of the later poskim bring as well that in the Shut Ruach Chaim, Biralocha brings that many Jewish doctors are choshud. Can you see that to mechalel Shabbos? They don't have the sensitivity to say whether a person should fast or not fast. Okay? So now this becomes now more complicated, because if you can't trust the doctor, so then we've got to leave it up to the rabbi. And the rabbi, can you see that, doesn't always have that medical knowledge to know. Okay? The poskim think that the moire hoiro, the rabbi, should have that ability to understand where there is a problem, okay, or where there isn't a problem. Now, I want to give you a typical example. Typical example where you send the person to the doctor, and the doctor is not a religious doctor, he's a chiloni doctor, and the doctor says, listen, you should eat pashiorim. What I normally do in that case, which I have no problem asking the doctor, the professor, specialist in this area, but then what I do is I send them to the doctors here in Telstone. If they're Mulchedit, we send them to Dr. Levine. If they're in Maccabi, we send it to Dr. Bort. And we let them look at the tick. We look them look at the patient's file. And they will hear the opinion of the specialist, and then they will decide whether this person should fast or not fast, whether they should take shurim or not take shurim. Very difficult to rely on the chiloni specialist. Obviously, there are cases where every moira hoira can already know that this person should not fast, no matter what the doctor says. It's actually irrelevant, because sometimes it becomes irrelevant because you can see the position that the patient, you listen to his case, and you come to the conclusion that this person should not fast, irrelevant really of what the doctors say, okay? But obviously the doctors over here have a lot of work to do on Erev Yom Kippur, giving their professional, the religious doctors I'm talking about, giving their professional opinions whether a person should fast or not fast.
Okay, so let's say Dr. Levine says you have to drink shiurim. But she doesn't say how much you have to drink during the course of the day. At least she didn't tell me. How do we know how much to drink altogether? Two, I guess, quick questions. Also, I don't understand. Maybe we should have to fast altogether, not drink until it gets serious, and then drink more than a shiur.
No. We don't want a person to put himself into a makom sakon. That we don't want to have. And if a person is told by the doctor to drink b'shiurim, I would strongly suggest that one drinks b'shiurim from the morning. One can actually ask the doctor to get around that problem, is how many liters of drink should you drink during the day? If it's 1 liter, well, you can make the cheshbon 40 cc's every 10 minutes. Can you see? Where that's 240 cc's. That's 40 times 6, correct? 240 cc's per hour. So they're 4 times 4. It's every 4 hours you're having 1 liter if you are religiously having 40 cc's every 10 minutes. So given that, we're looking at 4 hours per liter. That means 8 hours for 2 liters. So now, if you need to have 3 liters over the course of the day, and there's some people that do, then you've got to go down. You've got to go every 7 minutes. Can you see that? And don't go every 10 minutes. You got to bring it down, because that's what you have to have. So you'll have it every 5 minutes or every 7 minutes, as long as you put it. So that's the way that you ask. Just ask the doctor, how many liters do you need to drink during the day? And that's the chifta that you're going to have. It's actually not so easy to drink b'shiurim. You got to keep. Now, the best way to do it, I actually told one lady to do it. And that is, she should have hot water. Sip hot water all the time. Can you see that? She should fill up with hot water. It's quite easy to sip hot water. And she keeps on sipping. And every 10 minutes, it goes under the mark. And then she fills it up again and goes under the mark. And she fills it up again and goes under the mark every 10 minutes. Can you see that? By 10 minutes, she would have finished, or he would have finished.
Okay, why hot water?
Because it's easier sometimes to drink hot water. Can you see that? Because you're only taking sip by sip at a time. You know, if it's cold water, it's fine. I mean, obviously.
Wait, one second. Why sip by sip? Why not drink 40 at one time?
I'm just telling practically. Sometimes it's easier for a person to keep sipping. I keep sipping it during the shiur the whole time. I didn't notice that I'm sipping.
It's easier to drink 40 centimeters, 40 cc's.
Everyone.
In 10 minutes.
Everyone on the way that he feels. Now, When it comes to as you feel you should do it, that's fine. All right? Now, it's not so easy. Just remember that it's much harder to to break your fast than fast. Don't ever envy a person that needs to break his fast. Okay? Because it is much easier to fast than not to fast. That's for sure. All right? It requires more. It's a bigger nisayon to actually break one's fast than to fast. Now,
what are you talking about? It's more nisayon to do shirim than
of a nisayon to eat on Yom Kippur than not to eat on Yom Kippur.
Because the person's upset, or is it the hard work of shirim?
When last did you eat on Yom Kippur?
What?
When last did you eat on Yom Kippur?
Eating, never. I mean, right.
You know what? You'll tell us how you felt after Yom Kippur by eating on Yom Kippur. And I promise you,
I drank before. The last 2 years I drank. Shiarim, you know. Shiarim, I mean,
but it's not so easy.
Right. But I'm not sure if you're saying it's because of
I'm saying emotionally, it's not easy.
Emotionally, you're talking about.
Yeah, correct. Okay, now listen
to this. What can you do?
What can one do? Rabbi Eliyahu, we can't see you. Rabbi Nechemiah, we can't see you. Listen over here carefully. All right? So now, let's continue with our discussion, Rabbi. Let's come back. Let's just get some normal, very, very interesting situations that a lot of people today. Unfortunately, we have COVID in our community. And now those who are recovering from COVID, those who have COVID, and hopefully we won't have any more infections. But there are people who are sick with COVID or just recovered from COVID. Do they have to fast or not? Now, I want to tell you something. It very much depends on the position of the person himself, okay? If a person has just recovered from COVID, so now the first question I ask the person is, how are you feeling? If the guy says, I am totally wiped out, I am weak, I've still got symptoms, well, that person I don't think should fast on Yom Kippur. Correct? So we're going to tell him to eat and drink Bashiure. That's what we're going to tell him to do. He needs to get his strength back. We don't know what ramifications this COVID can have. If a person doesn't replenish his strength or gain his strength. Now, if the person says, I'm feeling fine, I don't have any problem, everything's back to normal, so then we're going to tell him that he should fast, even though he's just recovered from COVID. However, we will tell him that if he feels that when he's on Yom Kippur, he's not seeing properly, he's starting to see hazy, he's getting, he's feeling weak. Now, I just want to tell you something. There are two different types of feeling weak. And this is a very real scenario, okay? There's weak and weak. If a person feels weak from the fast, everybody knows they feel weak from the fast, they know there's nothing to worry about. But then there's a different type of weakness where a person knows that something's not right. In other words, he feels his body's waning in real strength, not just from not eating. Everybody knows from not eating you have a certain weakness. That's a very normal thing. And a person is able to tell that difference. That when you're not weak and you feel weak, fine. But sometimes you get this deep inner feeling of real weakness. That's got nothing to do with the fast. That person needs to eat, okay? Because if he doesn't eat, he's going to start feeling faint. He's going to start, he can pass out. And that's not what we're interested in. That's not what we're interested in happening and to any person. So such a person should then start at least drinking Bashiurim. You should have, makes a difference what you drink. You can drink chicken soup. You can drink, the best thing to drink is grape juice. Grape juice has got a lot of natural sugar, and to replenish some of the liquids. And the telltale sign of dehydration, by the way, is we, Dr. Asner, you take the palm of your hand, right, and you pinch the palm of your hand. You pinch the skin on the palm of your hand. Anybody that's not dehydrated, you can try it now. As you pinch your skin, right, and you let go, the skin will go back to normal. However, if a person's dehydrated, you'll pinch the skin and the skin will stay up. It won't go back down. That's a sign that the body's dehydrating, and one has to, at that point, and if one's not feeling well, that's a sure sign that you're dehydrating and you need to start drinking Bishiurim until that phenomenon passes and one gets back to normal. If a person's in active COVID and he's not feeling well, obviously we're not going to want him to fast. We at least want him to drink. And if drinking is not enough for him, he's going to have to eat as well. And we'll get him to eat and drink Bishiurim.
Let me ask you something. If a person is excused from fasting,
yes,
why does he have to take Shiurim?
Well, the thing is as follows. When you're taking Shiurim, it's not the issue. A person's not over the issue of Kares. Even though Me'ikar Adin, you're asking a very lomdish and a good question. Lemaisa, when a person has to fast, it's really the Chuyah. It's the Pitkuach Nefesh. In other words, we push away the fast for Pitkuach Nefesh. And since we just push away the fast for Pitkuach Nefesh, just like on Shabbos, we push away Shabbos for Pitkuach Nefesh. But on Shabbos, there's an Indian not to do it all the halachas, if you can, right? If you're a person in Pitama Pitkuach Nefesh, you do what you have to do. You don't do everything, even though it's not something that's not necessarily need to be. Things that don't necessarily need to be done. We don't do it. So to Aviyah, when it comes to Yom Kippur, even though the person's in the level of Pikuach Nefesh, we try and minimize the eating that the person is going to do. And the way that we minimize it is through Shiurim. However, it's an interesting point that I'm mentioning, Aviyah. Not everybody agrees with what I've just said. A person that the shiurim is not going to help for his pikuach nefesh, that obviously requires him to eat normally or to drink normally in order to take himself out or to keep himself healthy in the state of pikuach nefesh that he might be in. Okay.
Can I ask a couple of practical challenges?
Yeah.
I have one daughter in my family that had corona about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is feeling back to normal now, with the exception of she has no sense of taste and no sense of smell.
Right.
And I have another daughter had also had it, went back to work last week and has no sense of smell.
Right. I think that the no sense of smell, that's something that can take quite a long time to get back, to return to normal. It's not necessarily a sign that the COVID is active. And I would tell them, as I said previously, that they should try and fast. And if they get to the stage of weakness that I mentioned previously, then already they should start drinking Bishiurim until they start feeling better. And getting back to a point where the sakona has passed. By the way, on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to, once you break your fast, it doesn't mean that you have a carte blanche hitter to continue breaking your fast. You have to eat as much as you need to eat, and then you stop eating again. All right, which is not the same as Tisha B'Av, which is not the same as the other fasts. Yeah, the Maisa, once one has one's in a state of Pikuach Nefesh or Sofek Pikuach Nefesh, one has to take oneself out of that Sofek. I mean, once out of that Sofek, one has to stop and continue fasting.
I'd like to hear about pregnant women.
Yes, I'll discuss pregnant women at the moment. Now, I wanted to do something.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.com.
The saving grace of of Yom Kippur is that people really want to fast. You know? People really want to fast. It's quite interesting. People really want to fast. If nobody wanted to fast, we'll be really having a hard time with the psukim, because they're always going to try and fight you. And you say this, I think somebody should do that, and you say this, you should rather, maybe I should do that. But it's not really working like it. It's really working in the other way. It's working that I have to tell them, listen, you need to eat, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. Makes it much easier, right? When the shoel is really wanting to fast. He wants to fast. Yeah. Can you see that? You're actually basically telling him not to fast. So, you know, the tables are turned. If it was the other way around, we'd have a harder issue. On the other fast, it's different. It follows a slightly different mechanism. But it's very interesting. It's very interesting. And, you know, I've had quite a few shalas actually from irreligious people, from chilonim. Not that I know who they are. And I can hear, by the way, they're asking the shaila that they aren't religious. One person phoned me yesterday, and she has a certain issue, and I told her what to do. And I said, you know, maybe your husband should stay home and, you know, and help with the children. I said, how many children you got? She says, I've got 6 children. I said, maybe your husband should stay home from shul, you know. And she said, well, don't worry, I've got lots of help in the house, right? So, you know, she's so each thing in each situation has to be discussed. Now, when it comes to the pregnant woman, all right, when it comes to pregnant women, now there are certain situations which need, by the way, clots, krishiyut, dam, krishiyut clots, blood clots. So they fall into a category where one has to be very careful before one's machmir on them, because one has to understand what they're taking. Are they taking blood thinners? Aren't they taking blood thinners? Here, usually what happens is that I refer them to the doctor. I want to hear what the doctor feels. This is not a straight shaila, because it depends on the patient, and it has a lot to do with the medications they're taking. It's a lot to do with their position. So I refer them to the doctor, and then they come back and they say, the doctor has said X, Y, Z. That's usually what we're going to follow based on the advice that they received from their doctor. Now we come to there are people who suffer from kidney stones. Now, kidney stones is a very serious thing. It's not something that...
say?
Kidney stones, right?
Kidney stones, oh.
Mm. Kidney stones. Now, kidney stones is a serious thing. Minimize the intrinsic sakona that exists with people that suffer from kidney stones. I always mentioned I had a doctor told me, he was a doctor, he was in Beit Shemesh at the time. A guy came up to him and said to him, he suffers from kidney stones. The doctor told him, you take shiurim throughout Yom Kippur. The guy did not listen to the doctor, and he lost both kidneys.
Right.
It's not something that that's not something that we take lightly. And people have low kidney functions or not have to be very careful about fasting. I have a case of one person who has low kidney function. He suffers from kidney stones. He can drink. He's done it all the years. He can drink water that is poggle. Water that doesn't taste good, and he can drink a lot of it. He can drink a few liters of it, actually. That's what he's worked out. Okay, he can do it, and that solves his problem. If a person can't do that, so then he should take shiurim every 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes, he should drink water throughout Yom Kippur so that his body is properly satiated.
So it's basically not fasting.
Well, he's fasting by shiurim, but he's got to drink.
But isn't there an option if you have difficulty fasting, stay in bed?
Yes. I tell most of the pregnant women and the nursing women who have to fast, I actually tell them to stay in bed. Can you see that? which we'll discuss now. We'll discuss the case now.
What about a situation of a woman who, let's say, gave birth within the last 6 months and is feeding a baby?
Yeah, so that's very common. So now, that's about 40% of Telstone, Baruch Hashem. Now listen to this carefully. It's wonderful to be able to live in a city where it's the young generation that are being born, and we are surrounded with a young generation. It's a wonderful thing. I wouldn't wish anybody to live in a city where everybody's over the age of. I won't say. Can you see that? Yeah, Baruch Hashem. We've got a younger generation that keeps us young, keeps us energized. Can you see that? And it's a wonderful source. And that's why Baruch Hashem, half of Telstone is either pregnant or nursing, which is really nice. Now listen to this carefully. When it comes to pregnant women and nursing women, the rule is they have to fast, which is different to the minor fast, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Pregnant women and nursing women have to fast. However, we obviously, Tisha B'Av is an Eid Rabbonon, so there's a little bit more leeway. Yom Kippur, we obviously should be Machmir. Now, what do you mean being Machmir? Again, the rule is they have to fast. Okay, that's the rule. They have to fast. What happens under certain circumstances? A woman can fast, by the way, and she can get through the fast. Everything will be just fine. The fear of fasting is many times much, much more daunting than the actual fast itself. That I can tell you, right? From experience. The fast actually goes not too bad, but the fear of fasting can sometimes be quite a daunting experience. Now, let's go to pregnant woman. Pregnant woman, which is a very interesting. Let's first go to the nursing woman, nursing ladies. So lactating mothers have to fast. What do I tell them to do? I tell them to drink all the time on Erev Yom Kippur. Comes night of Yom Kippur, they stay in bed in a air-conditioned room and literally take it easy the whole, like you said, Dr. Eisner, they must sleep it through. Really, they need to daven, they daven in bed. They sleep, they can sleep. Can you see that? They just got to take it easy. What do the husbands do? I tell the husbands very simple. You go to shul, you daven the amida, you come home. And you stay at home, you say when it's under tokev at home, you got to help your wife. It's much more important that he comes home and helps his wife, and his wife is able to fast, than him staying in shul, and his wife is, she's nursing a child, and she's helping out with the children, and he comes back and his wife is half dead. I don't think that that's really what the kavona of Yom Kippur is. He needs to come home, he'll help at home. Sometimes Leah and Hora, there are many children. That's his avoid on Yom Kippur. And even though he can't stay in shul, that's what he's going to have to do. And she'll take it easy. And if, for whatever reason, there's a young child, and I've had this case where I had one lady, Avia, whose child is having repeated infections. The child is only nursing from her. If her milk will not be a quality type of milk, it won't not be the same quality or the same quantity that the child needs, the child could mamish be in sakona. That lady has to drink bishurim throughout Yom Kippur, which is what she's going to be doing. And if need be, she can eat as well, although I don't think she's going to need to eat, but she's going to have to drink in such a way that the milk is not compromised in any way. Many, you know, we have ladies who go to work and they give their child bottles, correct, of soy milk or whatever the case may be. So they haven't got much of a time on Yom Kippur where they want to feed the child. You know, they can feed the child; everything will be fine. Most women get through it, and on Motzei Yom Kippur they need to drink. all the time and Motzei Yom Kippur. In other words, the replenishing of the liquids is just as important as the drinking on Erev Yom Kippur. Many people come out of Yom Kippur and they forget to drink. They just don't drink enough. What they need to do is to have a water bottle with them and drink the whole time. I usually tell them the minute they start going to the toilet every half an hour, that's assuming that the water in the body has been replenished. If she's only going to the bathroom or a person's only going to the bathroom every 3-4 hours, it's assuming that you haven't replenished your liquids in the body and you need to drink. And Motzei Yom Kippur and Motzei Letanis, I tell my children all the time, drink. I usually forget to drink. You know what I mean? They say interested in eating, they forget to drink, which itself is something that needs to be addressed. Now, when it comes to pregnant women,
if I could just add one thing as a former EMT, if it's strong yellow, it's also not a good sign.
That's right. The person has to get himself back to normal, and it's something that requires it requires positive action. In other words, it requires action. It's not something that you just leave to, if you're thirsty, you drink. If you're not thirsty, you don't drink. What you need to do is you fill up a water bottle, honestly, okay, or a flask of tea, and you drink all the time. You need to drink from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock until you go to bed. And that's the way that you replenish your liquids. Don't forget to do it. You should make a point of doing it, and everything will be just fine thereafter. A fast itself, by the way, is a very healthy thing for the human body, right? Yeah. A person's stomach works, you know, in the stomach. You just have to take a stethoscope and put it to your stomach, and you'll see what your stomach has to go through every single second of the day. Give your stomach a bit of a break, you know what I mean? It's a very positive thing for the body, Dr. Asner, right? It's a healthy thing.
Some people say fasting is important to maintain function sometimes.
Correct. And if you're not, if you got
we're talking here about a situation where fasting is a derisor. Going to shul is not a derisor.
Correct.
You can stay home and if you can't fast outside, stay home and fast in the house.
Exactly. Stay in the house. That's what I tell people to do. Now, when it comes to pregnant women, now we have more, we need to be a little bit more astute to what pregnant women need to do. Why? Because a pregnant woman needs liquid. She needs to drink a lot. She needs to feed her baby as well. The baby always comes first. And if the baby takes everything the baby needs, leaves the mother to fend for herself. However, what happens is that during the later months of pregnancy, so dehydration can actually cause contractions and cause early birth. Now, we need to be cognizant of this fact. There are some women that have high risk pregnancies. Their pregnancy is high risk. When it's high risk pregnancies, we need to be more cognizant. To give you an example, last night I had a lady that phoned. She's just come out of hospital. She is having early contractions. She's having breakthrough bleeding. She's high risk. She's not allowed to fast. By any means, she's not allowed to fast.
Does that mean even not to drink shiurim?
I told her to drink with shiurim all the time. She needs about 2.5-3 liters every day. So she'll be drinking through the night. In other words, till she goes to bed, from the time she wakes up in the morning, every 10 minutes she's going to be drinking throughout the day. Okay? Here's a typical case. If she needs to eat, she needs to eat. I don't think she needs to eat. She can drink all sorts of things. She doesn't really need to drink. Now, if the woman is in late till week 39, okay? Now listen to it, week 39, not 37 or 36, not in the ninth month. It's 12 week 39. That's a week before the due date. All right? We do not want a woman to have contractions. In other words, if she feels that there's a start of contractions, immediately She needs to start drinking shiurim, as I mentioned previously. If she feels it's not happening, she goes down to every farm, and she feels it's not helping, she drinks normally. We do not want her to start contractions and have an early birth. What I can tell you is that from the, and this is from about month four onwards, right? 4 times 7. She, what we're going to tell her to do. What happens to a lady after week 39? She doesn't need, if she has a baby, it's not a problem, right? She can have a baby. The only problem is that does she need liquids to before the birth? You know, does she need to replenish her strength before the birth? You know, if any one of us would have ever given birth in our lives, I think we'd understand what I was saying, right? Can you see? All right. So, she needs strength. Now, so what do we do as follows? I actually spoke to a birth coach. The lady gets strength no matter how weak she is. She's got strength. You know what I mean? The body just goes into emergency mode and she usually gets enough strength. Very few cases she actually doesn't have enough strength. But what I can tell you is that I tell them as follows. Right, Reb Osha Vas Paskins, the minute the lady goes to hospital, she must drink normally. I'm a little bit more nervous is that because that's really, in the halacha, that's not really written in halacha. That he says that that's maybe what needs to be done. Fine, I can't disagree with him. I would suggest as follows what I tell the birth coaches, is that it's dependent per lady. In other words, the minute the lady gets to a point where she's got a lot of contractions, she can't walk, then at that point, she's allowed to drink. I'm talking about before that point. So now it depends on the lady. Sometimes a lady comes in weak. The birth coach, the doctor says, this lady's weak. She needs to strengthen up. She needs to fatten up before the birth. Correct? So what we do is we tell her she must drink. She must eat, either bishurim or normally. She must just eat. She must drink. She doesn't usually need to drink and eat. They need to drink. So they'll drink normally. Whatever they need to be, they need to drink. This is the way that we will handle these women who are during birth, just before birth. After birth, by the way, or just before birth, so she's allowed to eat and drink normally. Again, if she can have shiurim, it would be better. Until 48 hours after the birth, to the minute. 48 hours after the birth, which there are such women, I've already two of those cases really well. And by the way, it's not only birth, even a miscarriage is the same thing. 48 hours, till 48 hours after birth, she's allowed to eat and drink normally. Again, if she can be shiurim, it would be better. Even after that, from 48 hours till the 7 days, till the end of the 7 days, ma'is la'is, if she feels she needs to drink, she can drink bishiurim, and that's the way that she. That's what we tell the women who have just given birth to do. I think that is basically a summary of the halachas of the shiurim and eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Does anybody have any question about that before we go to Hilchos Sukkah?
Rabbi, if one is getting symptoms of, let's say, any sickness, let's say COVID, for instance, on Yom Kippur, let's say a sore throat or like fever or whatever.
Right.
Is one allowed to do something about it in terms of the shiurim and so on, or what?
Okay, so I tell you what. If a person is getting active COVID, I would want to suggest that he should eat with symptoms. My feeling is that he should probably eat bashurim, eat and drink bashurim. Can you see that? The drink is important. At least to drink bashurim if he's getting active COVID. You know, active COVID is sitting on. I want to suggest that that's what he should do, yeah.
What if a pregnant woman feels lightheaded?
What do you say?
What if a pregnant
that is light-headed and light-headed? There's light-headed and light-headed. The light-headed does not mean you need to have fury. But if that is different, if that light-headedness becomes very light, you know, there's light and very light. If it starts becoming very light, then that's assuming that the person needs to have fury. Because very light-headed can be is a precursor, if you ask me, to faint, and that we don't want to happen.
Right.
Same advice for older people.
The same thing, yeah. It's the same thing. Can you see? We said the same thing.
Eating is there a measure in terms of grams when it comes to eating?
Yes, I tell you what. It's a bit difficult to say grams. We're probably looking at about 13, 14 grams. I'll usually just tell the person to take a small matchbox and just to put it into the matchbox. Yeah. Irrelevant of the grams.
No.
Because some things weigh more. If you put marshmallow, you know, marshmallow can weigh about 2-3 grams, but can fill up that box pretty quickly. Can you see that? Yeah. And if you put in some potatoes, can you see that they'll fill up the box and actually be quite heavy?
Right.
Can you see?
What's the shear for liquid?
40 cc's every 10 minutes.
Anyone know what that's in ounces?
Oh, I could know.
No, sounds like this.
It's a small cup, no?
Yosef, I have a schnapps left if you want one. A small little plastic one.
That's our small schnapps one.
Talk of a 20, and I believe it's 30 altogether.
You mean like a shot glass?
Yeah. But yeah, not a big shot glass. You know, there are big shot glasses and little shot glasses.
The shot glass is between 1 and 2 ounces. So it's about 1.5
ounces. Is too much.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I don't know about shot glasses. I wouldn't know. And I don't know about ounces either. You're talking a different language.
Sometimes, Rabbi.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that's just in there.
We got to make you a little bit American.
They call them pianitzes, no? Pianitzes. Now, look over here carefully.
My wife suffers from low blood pressure.
So then, what
I want to tell her is, I want to tell her this, not even to go to shul. If she stays at home, she's more likely to be okay. I want to tell her that I've asked Rabbi Rosen to have her in mind for Kol Nidre, that he can cover her. Is that okay?
There's Rat Hashem.
Can I tell her that?
What is the doctor? She has a doctor, though.
Kol Nidre, she just ate.
Yeah. No, she just wants to stay home.
She doesn't need to break the fast or whatever like that if she stays at home.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, now she needs to, and if she's mechuyevish to stay at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, she definitely likes to go to the shul for
Kol Nidre. So if I tell her the Rav's covering her, then she'll understand and accept it. If I say I'm covering her, she won't think it good enough for her.
I'll tell you what to do.
Yeah?
If she wants, let's make a deal. You'll daven for my wife, I'll daven for your wife.
Okay. Fine, agree.
Look, Shimon, if your wife has low blood pressure, I'm happy to get rid of a little bit of my excess. Maybe we can work something out.
That's right. She can lie, you know, sometimes not anyway, she can just like feel very faint and needs to lie down, whatever.
Yeah, no, you know what? You know what? I'll tell you what. What you need to do is you keep her in mind and you're done for her, but she has to stay home. Okay, yeah. That's possible. Can you see that? That's bold.
Right, you don't even have a mitzvah to go to a minyan, so what's the...
No, the person, that's right, and especially for a woman, whatever the case may be, davening is not... davening is something which is definitely less important than the fasting. That's bold.
Don't tell her that.
That's really bold. Okay.
Thank you.
So now... let's continue with our discussion over here. Okay? Look over here.
Why don't I, like, you know, the women are weak, have low iron, and have been having a lot of, you know, difficulty in the pregnant.
And she said what again?
Like, I'm thinking of one of my daughters that she's getting blood fusions of iron because she's so low in iron and she's weak.
So I want to tell you something again. You know, we'll.
She's pregnant.
She'll need to fast. But if she feels very weak or there's a deterioration in her, in her position, okay, in a situation, then in a chinam, if she starts feeling suddenly weak, like I told you, then then she doesn't need to fast. I mean, she'll eat the shiurim.
If she says something doesn't seem right, zero, that's it, then she's gonna.
Again, what do you say?
She says something doesn't seem right.
Well, it depends, it depends. Again, it depends on the position, but it can't be, she has to feel that she's going to a makom of sakana.
Uh-huh.
Not, it's not stam.
But it's sakana for the baby also, right? That's harder to know.
What do you say?
So you have to know if this is sakana for the baby.
Yeah, again, and that needs to, again, you know what I mean? We're not going to argue with any pregnant woman if she knows lev yodei maras nafshoi.
Right.
All right? Again, everything has to be discussed, and it has to be within proportion. Can you see that? Obviously, if a person's got corona and everything just fine, he's obviously hardly feeling it and everything, then he should fast. You know what I mean? A person getting corona and a person, the older person, and he's, and he's feeling that something that, we would obviously. Okay.
Let's say, like what happens, the daughter comes for here often for Yom Kippur, to get help and so forth. And if they have a child, they're going to ask me, and not going to be time to go to the doctor or Rav. If the circumstance makes me feel worried, I'm not just emotionally, but it's a little bit worrisome. You don't know. So I'll tell them to have shiurim.
Say that again.
What can happen is that they say my daughters come to be here for Yom Kippur. And if they have a shiurim, they ask me. And it's not going to be so shy to go to a doctor or Rav at that point. If it sounds to me worrisome, I'm concerned.
Sounds worrisome and it doesn't sound good and it sounds something that she should eat, then she should eat. You don't, Suffolk Nefoshes is Doiche Kol HaToyro Kulo.
Right, okay.
Can you see?
Yeah.
That's for sure. Okay. Now look over here. Very fascinating. We have these halachas that we didn't normally have. And again, Reb Chaim, it obviously depends on the individual. If he's getting little symptoms and everything's okay, he can continue fasting. If the symptoms are starting to, develop and a person's, and especially if a person's got underlying illnesses, ailments, so then obviously one has to be very careful.
What if someone has now corona, but he doesn't feel so bad?
He's got corona now and he's not feeling too bad.
Yeah.
Again, I listen to the person. If a person's got an active corona, the default is to have shiurim. Do you know what I mean? It's obviously has to be feeling really good.
You're saying if someone actually has active corona, only if he says I don't feel anything more or less, then
right. Let's say that you've got a guy. He's fine. He's came out chiyuvi. He doesn't know if he's got corona bichla. You know what I mean? And then you should fast. If a guy comes out chiyuvi and he's not feeling well, and he's getting the flu, and that guy must start shiurim right away.
Right.
And you see, that again is quite individualistic and quite dependent on the person himself, and each shaila needs to be discussed with a moira and to come to some conclusion what to do.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.